Oh, good to see you, Menachem. How you doing?
Baruch Hashem, good.
Yeah, how's the apartment looking? You're done, you're finished, or still stuff being done?
No, it's still dragging on. We're fighting with
Ever done?
the Kablan over the last 10%. So
What are you building there? The Taj Mahal, I think?
nothing else to be built. It's just the finishings. He wants money, but the contract says we don't pay till he's done. So it's a stalemate. And so
The
good
normal
time.
story.
Baruch Hashem.
The normal story. Okay.
Yeah.
It all boils down to money at the end of the day. Okay, back to our sugya. The Mishnah says that gezeilo is v'chavolo is abeshloisha, and then the Mishnah said that nezek, chatzi nezek, kefel, and Tashlumei Arba'a v'Chamishna, which we call Dalet v'Hei, are all b'Shleisha. And the Gemara asked a question. Once you've said Chavolis, why would you need then to go mention Chatzin Ezek? That is the same thing. The Gemara initially said, Gemara's initial question was actually, why does it say Nezek? Gemara says, because it wanted to say Chatzin Ezek, so we said Nezek as well. But why is Chatzin Ezek necessary to mention? Surely that's also a type of kavos. So the Gemara said, have a look, let's go briefly back to the two dots. Nezek hainu chavolis question mark. No, mishum de kaboy lemisni chatzi nezek. That's why toni nami nezek sholim. Says the Gemara, chatzi nezek nami hainu chavolis. Chatzi nezek is also a type of chavolis, so why are we any better off? And the Gemara concluded, and this is where we're up to, Tana Mamoina, V'Ketani Kenosa. Chavolois is Mamoina. Everybody understands that if I damage somebody, I've got to pay that which I took away from him. So I've got to reimburse him for physical damage, for medical fees, for time lost at work, etc., etc. That is not a Knas. That's not a penalty. That is what we call mamoina. Why then do we make now a second list of chatzin nezek? The answer is because chatzin nezek is a knas. Now, if you remember, the very last line we left off with yesterday was we actually need to discuss this. Chatzin nezek, which is a strange sounding halacha, you don't pay all and you're not off the hook either. You pay half. Is that mamoina or is that knasa? So at first glance, we would say, well, it must be a knas. Why must it be a knas? Because were it really to be mamoina, then you should pay the whole thing. Remember, what are we talking about? We're talking about a shoyr, an ox that gored my ox and inflicted $1,000 of damage. It happens to be that the ox that did the goring, it's his first time or second time, so he hasn't got the status of a shoyr hamuad, rather a shoyr tam. So be that as it may, but at the end of the day, if his payment were to be considered momoin, so l'chayra, he should have to pay the whole $1,000. Remember, what is the general rule? How do I differentiate between momen and a knas? What's the rule of thumb? Very simple. If the monetary payment does not reflect the amount of damage incurred, then it must be a knas. So, what's the classic case? Everybody agrees that kefel, dalet v'hei, all of those cases are obviously a knas. At the end of the day, I only stole one sheep from you. So, why am I paying back two or four or five? So obviously that's a knas. But here we've got a bit of a strange case because I'm not paying you more than the damages incurred, but I'm not paying you the real amount either. I'm paying half out of the $1,000 because he's a shoyr tam, so he pays $500. So the Gemara says that's considered a knas. If that's considered a knas, now we understand why the Mishnah spelled it out separately. Dine Maimon is Beshleisha, Gezeles, the Chavolois is Beshleisha. Then Chatzi Nezek, because Chatzi Nezek is a Knas. So have a look at Rashi, the second bottom Rashi. Now it's rather interesting. Rashi has some words that don't appear in our Gemara L'chayr. Rashi is the first word on the line in my print. Chavolois m'moinahu. We are making a differentiation at the moment between chavolois as opposed to chatzi nezek. So look at Rashi now. Chatzi nezek knosahu. Chatzi nezek is a knas. Why is it a knas? The stam shvarim, your regular, ordinary shoyr, without any track record of goring, einom noigchim, do not go around goring. Which means we really have to ask ourselves a central question. When my ox gores for the very first time, now, how was he able to gore? Clearly, he wasn't being protected. There was no shmira. Am I held responsible for that or not held responsible? In different words, am I expected to expect that a shoyr might just go out and gore without being started up with? So Rashi says, stam shvarim einom noikrim. A stam shoyr with no history, if he's not provoked, will not gore. Therefore, v'loy hoya lebailim leshomroi. Therefore, the bailim were not expected to guard it kol zman sheloy huad, as long as it didn't become a muad. When it becomes a muad, once it's already happened once, it's already happened twice. So you can no longer after that say, well, I didn't expect it. Well, you should have expected it because it's got a history. So everybody agrees that third time round, when this animal gores, then you really are liable. Why are you liable? Because you should have protected the animal. Why should I protect the animal? Why should I have expected it to gore? Because it's done so in the past. Whereas a stam shoyr, if it's never done this in the past, or perhaps only once as a freak accident, so then essentially, if you're wearing the momoin hat, not a knas hat, if you're wearing the momoin hat, what should be the halacha? You should be exempt. This is totally unexpected. I am not liable. It's true I did not protect the shoyr. Why would I need to? Your regular shoyr doesn't go out goring people.
What do we do about the poor, innocent owner of the shore that was gored?
It's too bad. It's an onus. It's like lightning struck. Too bad. As far as I'm concerned, my shore, albeit I own it, but I'm not held liable for something which is a total onus, unexpected. Why is it unexpected? Because as long as it has not become a muad, stam shvarim einom noikrim. Your regular shore doesn't gore. And therefore, says Rashi, V'loy boy lishilume midi. Therefore, essentially, you should not have to pay anything at all. So why indeed am I paying half? It must be elo knosahu. It's a knas, it's a penalty. What's the purpose in this penalty? Why would the Torah slap on a penalty if you just now told me that essentially I'm not liable? Elachnasu de konse rachmona. Rachmona means the Torah. The Torah has slapped on a knas, kedeshe yarbe beshmiras shvarim, in order to encourage people to be super duper careful with protecting their shvarim, which means essentially by the strict letter of the law, You are not expected to guard your shoir if he's got no proven history of going out to Gaul. And if, even in the event that he does go to Gaul, you're not held liable and you should be off the hook. The Torah nonetheless slapped on this penalty, not that that reflects the true amount you should pay, but rather to act as an incentive to be extra careful, like Rabbi Yehuda David said. At the end of the day, the owner of the shoir that was Gaul, the poor fellow, has lost his shoir, or at least he's incurred damages. So we'd like to prevent that as much as we can. And for that reason, the Torah slapped on a knas, which means when damage is incurred of $1,000, how much is he paying? He's paying $500. So there's always two ways to look at this $500. Is $500 a downgrade or an upgrade? Meaning, should he essentially be paying $1,000, but for some reason he's let off the hook 50%, or the exact opposite? He should be exempt completely and he's being slapped with a penalty of 50%. That's what the Gemara is telling us at this stage of the Gemara. We'll see in a minute, it's about to change. Rabbi Larry.
If the Torah is telling you that if you have a shor muad and you don't protect it and you don't protect him, then you've done the wrong thing. Therefore, you got to pay the whole amount.
Right.
So then when you say it's an incentive for a shor that's not a muad, the Torah is essentially telling you the same thing. And even a shor that's not a muad, you should also protect.
No, but the Torah is
so hold on. So that, therefore, what's the point in going half? If you're already trying to incentivize people to watch all shors, or shvarim, so to speak, then he should pay the whole thing, no matter whether...
Why the Torah chose that amount, I don't know. Why 50%? I would have said maybe 30, maybe 70, maybe 20.
I would have said the whole thing. It's just because you're already saying on a shor muad, you're already telling the guy you should have protected. Therefore, you have to pay the whole thing. As an incentive for to protect all shvarim, you pay half. Well, if your incentive is to pay, then what's the difference?
So the difference is because one is something you're essentially chayev to do, and one is something that you're going beyond the call of duty. You are not mechuyev to guard your shoir first time. But, as Rabbi Eliyahu David said, at the end of the day, there's going to be people who lose out from that. Fine. So I'm going to encourage you to do something which is beyond the call of duty. How so? By slapping on a penalty. Why 50, not 40, not 30? Look at it. That's what the Torah says.
I would have thought there would be a probationary period where every Baal Shor needs to guard it to make sure that it, to watch how it behaves.
And well, only that's the Chiddush of this Rashi. Yeah. That's the Chiddush of this Rashi. Do I need to prove that my Shor is a well-behaved Shor? Or is that the automatic assumption until proved otherwise? That is precisely the subject. And that's the Machlokas, by the way. According to the Man D'Omer, we're going to see it's a machlekas. According to the Man D'Omer who holds that Chatzi Nezek is a knas, then he essentially holds that Stam, Shvarim, Einom, Noikhim. That is the default position. Therefore, the onus of proof is not on me. To the contrary, the automatic default position is that the Shoir, it behaves himself and doesn't go goring, unless proven otherwise. But I don't need to guard my shor to prove its credentials. To the contrary, the stam is that they're not negeach. However, now the Gemara introduces us to the fact that there's actually an opposing opinion. Look at the Gemara, fourth bottom line. At this stage of the Mishnah, how are we learning the Mishnah? Why has the Mishnah split this up into two? Because Chavolois obviously is Momoin. Chatzi Nezek is Knastaf, even though at the end of the day, the halacha is the same. It needs three Dayonim, but it's put into two categories because it's two types of monetary payment. Says the Gemara, 1 second, not so posh. That's all fine and well, according to the opinion that Palga Nizka, that Chatzi Nezek is Knas. So if you hold that Palga Nizka, what's Palga Nizka? Half Nezek, half damages. If you hold it's a Knas, well, then it's very good. So I understand why you differentiate that from chavolis. Elo leman doma, but there is, however, an opinion that says palga nizka mamoino, quote unquote, or rather underline the word mamoino. If you hold palga nizka is mamoino, which we're going to have to explain if it really is mamoino, then how do you arrive at this strange number of 50%? But there is an opinion like that. But if that's the case, my ikka lameima question mark. So what are you going to say? We're back to square one. If chatzi nezek really is mamoin, then it's really identical to chavolis. Well, if that's the case, then the original question comes back. Why are you differentiating? Why are you categorizing chavolis and chatzi nezek as two separate groups? It's all fine and well if chatzi nezek is a knas. So then it really is two different groups, as mamoin versus a knas. But if you hold that chatzi nezek is itself also mamoin, well then chavolois and chatzi nezek is all one group. So why are you making it two groups? Now, we need to explain this. What does this mean that there's an opinion that holds that chatzi nezek is mamoin? How can it possibly be mamoin? If my shoyer inflicted damages of $1,000, so if I'm liable and the real amount that I should be paying is 1,000, so then why am I paying 500? So look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Omud. Palgan is ka mamoino, the perik arba ovois, pligibo. If you look in the opening perik in Bava Kamma, there's a machloikas about this. And this particular opinion holds the exact opposite. And this, Rabbi Eliyahu David, is what you were saying before. The Kosova, this opinion holds that no, to the contrary, stam shvorim nagchonim heim. The regular standard shoyer is a gora. And you have to prove that it's not. But the automatic assumption, the default position is that yes, this animal gores. In which case, first time around, you are expected to be shomer your shoyer. Why? Because we have every reason to expect that he's going to go out and gore, because that's the stam. Which means if you did not guard your shoyer and it went out and gored, are you liable to pay? Absolutely yes. How much? So essentially, I should have to pay all $1,000. Says Rashi, umidina. By the strict letter of the law, kulhu, everything, bo'i l'shalumi. You should have been paying the full $1,000. Why? To have a lei lamintere. Lamintere means to guard, because you should have guarded it. Why should I have guarded it? Because you should have expected that a show goes out and goes. That is the stam. V'rachmona, however, the Torah who dechas, Ole, what does the chas mean? The Torah had mercy on him. The Torah, for whatever reason, downgraded, let you off half. Remember, we asked before, when you get to this strange number of 50%, is that a downgrade or an upgrade? Meaning, were you essentially supposed to pay 1,000, but the Torah let you off half? Or were you essentially not supposed to pay anything at all, and yet the Torah slapped on a penalty of half? Which way is the traffic going? Says Rashi, those are the two opinions. If you hold that stam shvarim, that the regular default position of a shoyer is not to gore, unless proven that he's a very wild animal, then I'm not expected to guard my shoyer. So how much essentially should I be paying? The answer is, zero, nothing, because it's an oimus. Yet the Torah slapped on a penalty for reasons we discussed before. That's called the opinion of Palga Nizka Knas. But there is an opposing opinion, and the opposing opinion holds the exact opposite. Stam Shvarim do go out and gore. And you were expected to protect your shoyer even first time, in which case, when my shoyer went out and gored because it wasn't well protected, you are liable to pay, and you should have been paying all $1,000. For whatever reason, the Torah had mercy on you and let you off half. But the 500 out of the 1,000 that you are paying, that's not a penalty. That's not a penalty. That is mammon. That is money that you essentially owe. You actually owe the one who is damaged. Why? Because you are liable. It's your fault. So if it's really your fault, why are you not paying the full 100%? For whatever reason, the Torah let you half-half. If that's the case, now our Mishnah is back in trouble. If you hold that Palga Nizka is Mamoina, then Lechaira, there is no differentiation whatsoever between that and Chavolis. Chavolis clearly is Mammon, right? If I smash your window, it costs $100, I've got to pay you $100. Everybody understands that's not a knas, that's not a penalty. I really do owe you the money. So why is Chatzi Nezek being put in a different category? If you hold that Chatzi Nezek is a knas, then I understand. But if Chatzi Nezek is Mammon, and there is an opinion like that, then why is it being put in a different category? At the end of the day, this is Mammon, and that's Mammon. Yeah.
Why does the Torah have Rachmanis on the Gorer and not the Gori?
Good question. Don't know. Says the Gemara, Elo, you're quite right. We're going to have to do another ID job. What's ID? ID literally translated means since, right? Very often we have the principle of symmetry. That if the Mishnah says one case, so since it said one, it tells you the other as well, just for purposes of symmetry or purposes of finishing off the sentence, even though it may well be unnecessary. And this is a classic case in point. Elo aidi dekaboi lemishna, because the Mishnah wanted to state tashlumei kefel, v'tashlumei arba'o v'chamisho. The Mishnah wanted to tell me the halachas of kefel and arba'o v'chamisho, which we keep on calling dalet v'hei. She'enoi, top line, mishtaleim b'roish hu. What does that mean, she'ena mishtalim b'roish? We'll see in a second. Therefore, toni nami chatzi nezek demomoin she'enoi mishtalim b'roish hu. Va'aydi dekaboi lemisni chatzi nezek toni nami nezek. So let's have a look at the top Rashi. She'enoi mishtalim b'roish. When you pay kefil, remember, what was the case of kefil? You steal something. So essentially, if you steal something, you've got to give it back. But if you deny stealing it and you take an oath that I didn't steal it, and then it turns out it's discovered that the stolen object is with you, then you've got to pay double. Obviously, that's a knas. I don't really owe him 200%. I owe him 100%. Says Rashi, Shemashalem yoiser min akeren. In the case of kefel, and obviously in the case of dalad veheh, you're paying more than the keren. The keren is the capital. V'chadzi nezek mashalem poches min akeren. Baroish, says Rashi, quote unquote, the word baroish, hainu keren. Baroish is another word for the capital. Diksiv v'shilem oisei baroish. Therefore, dalad v'hei and kefel and chatzi nezek all have something in common. And what is that? You're not paying the initial capital. You're either paying more or you're paying less. So, essentially, which case did the Mishnah want to teach us? The Mishnah wanted to teach us the case of kefel and dalad v'hei. Those are definitely not momoin, those are knas. Once we taught the halacha of kefel and dalad v'hei, which are cases of einoi mishtalein b'roish, the first words on the omud, which means they are not paying the capital, they're actually paying more. So then we add to that sentence, one moment, We have another case where you're not paying the capital. What is that? Chatzi Nezek. It's true. There you're not paying more, you're paying less. But there is that common denominator. And once we said Chatzi Nezek, then for the purposes of symmetry or for the purposes of Shleimus to finish off the sentence, that's why we mentioned Nezek Sholem as well. So why are all of those cases mentioned? Essentially, we would have liked only to mention Kefel and Dalet Vehe, because that really is an absolutely brand new category of Knas. Once we mention Kefel v'Dalet Vehe, where you're not paying the capital, then I mention Chatzi Nezek. Once I mention Chatzi Nezek, so I might as well finish off the sentence and say Nezek as well. Have a look again at the top line of the Gemara. Kefel and Dalet Vehe is Eino Mishtalem Beroish. Therefore, Toni Nami, that's why it states also Chatzi Nezek, because Chatzi Nezek is also Momen She'enoi Mishtalim Beroish, Momen which you're not paying the entire capital. And then, Va'aydi, and since the Kaboy Lemisni Chatzi Nezek, comma, once the Mishnah wanted to teach me Chatzi Nezek, therefore Toni Nami Nezek. Fine. Now we start a new Gemara. This is a Gemara that we have referred to, but we have not learned. And this now gets to the critical question. Here we've been discussing for 2 weeks which cases require three dayanim. We've never actually discussed where does the magic number three come from. If you remember in the Mishnah spoke about 23, the Mishnah spoke about 71. We have referred to in passing, but we've never seen the Gemara. This is it. Says the Gemara, Shloisha Minalon. What is the source of the fact that you need three dayanim? Where does the number three come from? Says the Gemara. The Tana Rabbon, we have a brace, it says as follows. V'nikrav bal habayis el ho Elohim. Remember in this context, Elohim doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means the dayanim or the dayan. So it uses this word Elohim so far once. Then it says,
doesn't Elohim mean mumchim?
We learn also mumchim. Also we learn mumchim from there. So it says it first time, Hare Kan Echod. So that's one. Then it says, Ad Ho Elohim. It says it a second time, Yavo Dvar Shneim, quote unquote, Hare Kan Shneim. That's the second time. And then it says, Asher Yarshion Elohim, third time, Hari Kan Shleisha. So it says the word Elohim three times, Divrei Rabbi Yashia.
So despite the plural ending of the word Elohim, it's singular.
Correct. Good point. So by virtue of the fact that the word Elohim is mentioned three times, by the way, Rabbi Eliyahu David, we have the same, and it's not just a moshel, it's actually very closely related. Whenever we talk about the owner of something, we talk about the Bailim.
Yes, right.
And Bailim is always plural.
Yeah.
We don't say the Baal, we say the Bailim.
Well, maybe it's him and his wife.
Could be.
Rabbi.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean to contradict, I apologize, but every time we spoke about Elohim until now, it was Mumchem. When did we describe that Elohim means Shoftim?
Rashi said, if you remember, we learned about cut and paste, ear of parashiyos, and the Gemara said, when in regard to halvois, it doesn't say you have to have three dayanim, it also doesn't say you have to have mumchim. Both of those halachas are learned from these words, Elohim, and we cut and paste them onto halvois. The Gemara said clearly that we learn both of these halachas from the word Elohim. Either way, Elohim is written three times, and if it's written three times, this teaches us you have to have three dayanim in the opinion of Rabbi Yashia. Rabbi Yonason disagrees, not with the halacha, but with the source of the halacha. Says Rabbi Yonason, Rishon, the first time that Elohim is mentioned, Tchilo Nemar. That is the absolute first mention. Ve'ed doyrshin tchilois. And you cannot make a drasha out of the word the first time it appears. Meaning, essentially, normally, how do we make drashas when there's a spare word in the pasuk? But the first time it appears, it's not spare. That's called tchilois. That's its very first mention. So I'll give you an example. Imagine I would say to you, you know, I was talking to Reuven, and Reuven said that Reuven's making a chasana. Why did you say the word Reuven three times? Now, I don't have three questions there. How many questions do I have? Two. Because the first time in the sentence that the word Reuven is mentioned, well, of course I've got to mention, otherwise we don't know the subject. The question is only after that. I should have just said, I met Reuven and he told me that he is making a chasana. But the first time it's mentioned, I can't say, you know, I met him and he said, well, I don't know who you're talking about. So that's what Rabbi Yonason says over here as well. I agree that the first time that the Torah says Elohim, that's not a spare word. Afterwards, when it's mentioned on two further occasions, yes, those two words you can make droshes from, but not the third. That's what it means. Ein dorshin tchilos. You can't be make a drosha from something, from a word which is mentioned for the first time. Why? Because the first time it's mentioned, it really is needed. It's not a spare word. In which case, how many dayanim do I need? What, just two? There's the Gemara. Rather, this is the drasha. Elo, quote unquote. Ad ho Elohim yavoi dvar shneim harikan echot. Asher yashir an Elohim harikan shneim. So I don't have three mentions of Elohim because the first is non-droshable. So I've only got two that I can make a drosha from. Ask, what are you trying to tell me? That the Bezdin has two dayanim? No. Ve'ein Bezdin shokul. We have the rule that we mentioned a number of times, but you can't have an even number of Bezdin. Therefore, moisifin aleim oidechot. Therefore, you would add one more dayan, and then harikan shleisha. Which means, he's not disagreeing with Rabbi Ashio as to how many dayanim you need. He's just disagreeing with the source of this halacha. Rabbi Ashio says, three Elohims means three dayanim. Says Rabbi Yonason, no, no, no. The first one is not spare. It's only numbers two and three. So I've only got two words spare. That's two dayanim. But because I have a rule that you cannot have an even number of Bezdin, so I know that logic dictates, even without a drasha, logic dictates that I've got to add a dayan. Look at Rashi quickly before we run out of time. Ein dorshin tchilois. I cannot darshan tchilois leminyan. What does it mean, leminyan? For the numbers. If I want to know what's the number of spare words, I can't darshan the first word. Why? De le gufe oser, Blari, this is your point. De le gufe oser, because I need it for its own purpose. It's not spare. Why do I need it for its first purpose? De le boi mumchin, because the word Elohim also teaches me that I need mumchin. Why? De Elohim. How does the word Elohim teach me mumchin? Elohim is a lashon of gedula, the rabbonus. Elohim is a lashon of being a master, of being a ruler. That's where I learned the word mumchin. And therefore, says Rabbi Yonason, I'm sorry to tell you, the first appearance of the word Elohim is not spare. It's only after that. So I've only got two spare words, however, says Rashi, ve'ein bezdin shokul. Ein oisim bezdin zugois. I cannot have bezdin in pairs, meaning an even number. Tzarech lekayim boy, because I always have to have the possibility of fulfilling, quote unquote, acharei rabim lahatois. The pasuk that we have referred to, the pasuk that we will refer to. I've always got to have the possibility of following the majority, and I can't do that with an even number. And if they are split into two, meaning I've got two dayanim, one rules in one direction, one the other, then ain't kan rabim. So I've always got to have the possibility of following the majority that I don't need a pasuk for. That's logic. Rabbi Larry, are you going to say something?
Yeah, when we did the cut and paste deal, it was cut and paste on something like that. And then they said, well, if you're going to cut and paste that, you have to cut and paste the whole thing, which is Elohim, which means Mammon, which means a Mumchem. So right. I don't know. I really don't remember where Elohim was anything other than Mumchem. We yes, never cut.
You're right. We never mentioned in the Gemara about three. The Gemara referred to it. This is the source. I'm learning two halachas from the words Elohim. Mumchin, and also the number of Mumchin that you need. Says Rabbi Yonason, the first word, therefore, is not spare. I've only got two spare words. That's two dayonim, who happen to be Mumchin. But I have a rule that you cannot have an even number. That tells me, therefore, you've got to add one, and you get to the magic
number. Now this causes a problem, because now how do you know that you're allowed to have dayonim that are not Mumchin? If you're going to use Elohim now to show that Elohim means
Mumchin. You do have to have Mumchin. It was only a rabbinic enactment saying you don't need to in order not to close the door.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Parasha Shir tonight. For those who are interested, Amitz Hashem, we're going to resume tonight.
What time is that?
7:20.
Is there a link?
Yes. I'll...